Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Vayigash. Parshas Vayigash, such an essential parsha. It's the bridge between the Avos to Bnei Yisrael as they enter the great challenge that's going to be Shibud Mitzrayim. And so we find ourselves at the beginning of the parsha, where Yehuda is putting up his big claim onto Yosef and his big challenge to the great Egyptian viceroy's attempt to take away his younger brother Binyamin. And of course, Yosef makes his revelation. Ani Yosef ha'od avichai. And the brothers couldn't answer, and then Yosef sends them back to bring Yaakov down. And before they leave, we find that the brothers are departing. And when the pasuk tells us that Yosef cried on Binyamin's neck, and Ubinyamin bacha al tzavarav, Binyamin cried on his shoulder as well. Now the Gemara in Megillah on Daf Tzayin Amud Beis notes that they each cried because of the destruction of the Bate Migdash that were going to take place in each of their chalakim. Of course, the destruction of Shiloh in the area of Yosef, and the destruction of the Bate Migdash in Binyamin's. Now why couldn't we assume just simply that they were crying tears of joy? They had the emotions of the present. Why couldn't we go ahead and make that assumption right there? So Rav Shimon Schwab Zatzal explained that the Beis Hamikdash is the source of Simcha, and upon its destruction, true Simcha has been lost to the world and gets replaced with Tsar. And so hence, even in the moments of Simcha, we cry as we still feel the Tsar that accompanies that situation. Well, the brothers continue to move, and they get back to Yaakov, and Yaakov vayafag libo ki lo hamin lahem. Yaakov can't even believe it. His heart's fluttering, and he can't even believe it. So, until at what point? Until vayaras ha'galos, until he sees the wagons. And Rashi explains that Yosef was sending a sign to Yaakov about the lesson of Egla Arufa, the final lesson that they had studied together before they separated. But what's that significance of the message of the lesson? So you see some wagons, so that's something, that's a message, just because we happen to be looking. So the late great Rabbi Yehuda Amital Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, explained that the message of escorting a guest is a lesson in helping create a feeling of security in the mind of the traveler. By accompanying him part way, you help the guest feel that he's being attended to, that he's not alone. And that strengthens his self-confidence, thereby making it easier for him to face the dangers of the journey. And even in today's motor travel, every person deserves our attention. We can't allow a situation in which a person feels alone. And this even more so when we're living in a time where the travel is not even taking place, but we're still separated. We have to find means to show people that there are agalos, that there are means of traveling in groups, that we are traveling and we will certainly get there. And ba'agaloh ubizman karib, maybe we'll get there quickly. Not in a wagon, but we'll quickly to the period of the Geula Shlema. We find that as Yaakov Avinu was leaving Eretz Yisrael, he starts to travel, and he comes to Be'era Shava, Vayavo Be'era Shava, the Pasuk tells us. And Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, highlights the fact that Be'er Sheva is the place where the Avos went to get calm and comfort. It was the place that Avram Avinu also planted the wood for the Beis HaMikdash, and where Yaakov Avinu uprooted that wood to bring it with him into Galus as a testament to the children that Hashem would indeed come and would indeed redeem them. As we get further towards the process, we start to read about all the different people who come down to Mitzrayim with Yaakov, the 70 nefashos that come into the land of Egypt. And Binyamin's children are listed as well, including Mupim and Chupim. Mupim and Chupim, the Gemara in Sotah and Daflamet Vav Amud Beis notes that the names refer to the fact that neither Yosef nor Binyamin was at the other brother's wedding. So Chaim Shmulevitz Atzal asked why it was important and painful that Binyamin missed Yosef's wedding. After all, that wedding was a turnaround moment in Yosef's life. It meant he was out of jail and on his way up. The Shiz Shatchan was none other than Paro himself. So he answers that when one gets a chance to rejoice with destiny and cannot, it's worthy noting in the name of a child, and there's no purpose of a simcha in this world if you can't rejoice with destiny. If you can't rejoice, it's just a temporary fix. There's no value in that. What are you celebrating even in the moment? As Yaakov Avinu gets ready to set up camp inside the land of Egypt, Bes Yehuda shalach lefanav al Yosef lahoros lefanav Goshna. He sends Yehuda first. And Rashi notes Yehuda was there to set up and establish the yeshiva. Why? So the late great Rav Pinchas Taitzeh Tzadik Livracha notes that while it might be okay for Yosef to live without a yeshiva, to light the way for the people, it doesn't work for the masses. Therefore, when establishing a Jewish community, you first need to establish the yeshiva in order to make sure there's a place where the entire community can grow spiritually. We have to be growth-oriented. We have to have the mindset to move forward. And that begins where? It begins when you're the yeshiva. Yosef gets ready to introduce his brothers to Paro, and he says to the brothers, do me a favor, make it your business to point out to Paro that you've been shepherds forevermore. And Rashi highlights that Yosef wanted his brothers to highlight their sheep herding in order to get them to separate from the main area of Mitzrayim. And the late great Mashgiach of Lakewood, Rav Nosson Wachvogel, Zatzal, explained that this is based on the ideas of Shmaya and Avtalion in Pirkei Avos, that Al Tisvada LaRoshas, don't be too well known to the government. Sometimes being too close to the government and right under its direct influence is dangerous to the Jewish people. It's dangerous sometimes for us to be so involved in such direction. Sometimes it's important for us to have connections, but to be right there sometimes puts us in a situation where we tend to get a little too chummy and pally, and what winds up happening in the process is that we're a little too involved in the social circles, and it leads to terrible assimilation. Yosef was concerned about that, and he wanted us to be a little bit more separated. And in our lives also, if we don't have a Jewish community to return home to at night, if we don't have a basis to turn home to when we're in the secular world, we are setting ourselves up for disaster. On the other hand, there's a wonderful book on the market, A Ben Torah for Life, written by Rav Aaron Lapyansky, where he really sets up the opposite terminology, where he turns around and he says there's a way for a person to be a Ben Torah first, and then to be able to go ahead and be a working Ben Torah, but be a Ben Torah first. Be Jewish. Be modern, be Jewish, was Rav Teitz's way of putting it, right? In order for a person to be modern, it means to be Orthodox. When Yaakov Avinu meets Paro, he in turn turns around and says, "Ma'at v'ram hayu yimei shnei chayai, lo yisigu es yimei shnei chayai avosai." Yaakov Avinu says, "I didn't achieve the years that my forefathers did." And how did Yaakov know what he would achieve? His life wasn't over yet. And the Ramban asked that question. And Rav Asher Weiss Shlita, a number of years ago, explained that Yaakov Avinu felt he wasn't living like his forefathers. He wasn't living with Shleimus. He wasn't living and learning and Avodas Hashem. He was always beset with difficulties, and that's what he was pointing out to Paro. And sometimes in life, that becomes a challenge for us. We have to turn around and be able to find a certain sense of personal shleimus and personal sense of yishuv hadas within our learning, within our avodas Hashem, in order for us to be able to function, and not only to function, but to be proud of who we are and to feel strong with who we are. Finally, in the Haftorah, there's always a question about how to connect the Haftorah and the Parsha. Moriv Rabbi Rav Shechta used to note that when we got to Parsha Svayigash, there's a strong connection between the Parsha and the Haftorah. Because in Parsha Svayigash, the brothers were missing an important piece of information, that the man that they were talking to was Yosef. And that's why they couldn't understand what was happening to them. But once they were told that he was Yosef, it all finally made sense. And similarly in the Haftorah, that we're told in the future, after all of Jewish history becomes unfolded before us, everything also gets understood in context. We have a responsibility to realize we don't know why we're going through what we're going through. And oy vey, if we start giving the reasons, but we do need to make the cheshbon ha-nefesh. We do need to ask the questions. And in order for us to ask the questions and make determinations, we will indeed be able to function. And be'ezus Hashem, all will become known to us. And all of us will be able to understand that situation. The late great Rosh Yeshiva of Chaim Yaakov Govach Zatzal used to add that that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is known as Baal HaNechamos. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who has the ability to be the one who can bring the Nechama. Because a Nechama comes when we realize that every step along the way was necessary. Every step was involved in the process. It's not all's well that ends well. It's all's well that was all well all the time, and only HaKadosh Baruch Hu has that ability. We can achieve nechama in other areas of life, but with God's help, we'll be able to be zocha to understand all the pieces along the way, and may we experience that experience real soon, and in the interim experience a Shabbat Shalom to all.